With SRN News, I'm John Scott. President Trump and the First Lady have met with victims and first responders of the Dayton mass shooting. He is now headed for El Paso to meet with victims of that shooting. Meanwhile, the president says there's a very strong political appetite in Congress for gun background checks, but not for a ban on assault weapons. The White House is inviting internet and technology companies for a roundtable discussion on violent extremism online. That meeting will be held on Friday. Afghan officials say 14 people were killed and 145 others were wounded in a Taliban suicide car bombing outside a police station in Kabul earlier in the day. U.S. immigration officials have raided several Mississippi food processing plants. That happened earlier today on Wall Street. The Dow is down 110 points. The NASDAQ is ahead 6. This is SRN News.
There's a good chance of thunderstorms today, and the high will be about 90 degrees. This evening, a 1 in 5 chance of rain. Overnight, the low 77. Tomorrow, mostly sunny. Our high will be 96 degrees. Friday, thunderstorms in the afternoon, a high of 94. Saturday, isolated thunderstorms and a high of 93.
Hey, good afternoon. Welcome to SWAT Radio. Brad Sykes with Doug McCary from His Light International Ministries. And Doug, it's good to be with you, brother. How are you?
It's a Wednesday, and it's nice, and it's thundering again. So it's that time of year, you know?
Well, what was it, 50% chance of rain? Yeah. That's a pretty good gamble right there, let me tell you.
Well, you know, it's hard to believe everybody's usually our news cycle runs about 24 hours, but people are still talking about El Paso, which is, in case you don't know what happened, it'd be rare that people might not know, but if you were out of the country on vacation or something and came back, there was a shooting in El Paso over the weekend. 22 people died, and also in Dayton, Ohio, and continue to pray for those families, pray for all the families impacted, and continue to pray that God would give opportunities for His church to be a light, you know, for the next 3 weeks on SWAT Radio. By the way, if you're listening and you're in Virginia listening on 100.1 FM or 1010 AM up there, or if you're listening in Georgia on 91.3 over in Folkestone, or St. Augustine 91.9, or here in Jacksonville 91.7, or through the internet. I know we have a lot of people that listen through SWATradio.com and the SWAT Radio app. If you're listening wherever you're listening, this week we are in the third part of our series for the next 3 weeks, actually, on evangelism. It's one of our core values at SWAT. If this is the first time you're tuning in, SWAT stands for Spiritual Warriors Advancing Truth, and we're going through our core values. The first couple of weeks, we looked at God's Word, our authority and starting point, and then the last couple of weeks, we looked at prayer, staying close to our commander, and now we're in evangelism, engaging witnesses for impact. And Brad, what's a witness? What does a witness do?
It's speaking of the things that have happened to you, experience. You know, what has God done in your life, through your life,
and that's what it is. If I put you up on the stand as a witness, yeah, as a former FBI agent who had many trials, if I put people up on the stand, they could only tell what they saw, what they heard, or experienced. Mm-hmm. That's what it means to be a witness. So we're talking about engaging witnesses for impact. But before we get into that, we usually take the first, you know, 10, 15 minutes of the program to talk about some things that are going on. President Trump went to El Paso and Dayton. And, it's, you know, If he goes, people protest. If he doesn't go, they criticize. He went out there. He was trying to go and be a part of saying, hey, this is not good. He doesn't wish that on anybody. He doesn't think it's a good thing. He stated very clearly this is evil. And he was out there trying to say, hey, we're mourning. In fact, he ordered half flags mm-hmm. flown at half mast. And, you know, some questions that come up after a shooting like this or any tragedy a lot of times is like, where is God in all this? Mm-hmm. Like, if God is real and if he's out there, why didn't he intervene? And people ask that after natural tragedies and after these evil tragedies. Well, God gives you and I the ability a lot of times to make decisions apart from his forced will. And within the context of that, we don't always choose the best things. We sin. We choose mm-hmm. to be selfish. We choose to do bad things. Now, most of us choose bad things that don't hurt people in a permanent way. Most of us, when we make a bad choice, we may upset our spouse. We may upset our kids. We may lose our temper. But we don't take life or we don't injure right. somebody when we do that. But if God were to intervene in every situation that warranted that, he would have to wipe us all out because we're all evil. We're all evil in our hearts. And that's contrary to Disney and some other Hollywood movies that put that out.
Luke Bryan songs.
Yeah. Yeah. Just to name a few things. But when we misuse our freedom, it's not God's fault. It is not. He is not evil. He is not bad because he allows good thing or bad things to happen. It says in James that he cannot be tempted with evil and he tempts no one. But each person is tempted when he is lured and enticed by what? His own desires. People are born with a sin nature. And, you know, if God always prevented sin from happening, none of us would be free to do anything. We wouldn't be free to make the choice. And there's a mystery there that we have this freedom, but yet he still, his sovereign will is unfolding. And, you know, I think that when you think about this, that we don't understand why God intervenes sometimes and he doesn't others. Like with my daughter, Rachel, she got a heart transplant, but one of her friends didn't. Her friend died, Rachel didn't. And people would come up to me all the time and say, oh, we know Rachel's going to get a heart. And I'm like, no, you don't. Nobody knows except for God. And I said, so don't give her false hope. You right. can tell her that God has the ability to do that, and we're praying for that. Sure. But only God knows. God is the only one, Brad, that knows whether you or I will even be alive tomorrow. We don't know that. None of us can predict that. And, you know, I think about Job losing all his children, all his possessions, all his health. And this was a guy who was very wealthy. He had 10 children. And he said, naked I came into the world, naked I leave. Mm. Blessed be the name of the Lord. But he also struggled. He said, why didn't I die at birth? It would have been better if I just died at birth instead of coming out having to endure this. And I know that as some of us see these evil things or we experience pain in our life, we wish, why didn't God just take me at birth and save me from all this? Well, that's because he leaves you here to be a witness for him. And there's an 11-year-old boy, Brad, that came up in El Paso. He came up with this El Paso challenge. You know these different challenges that go on?
Sure.
And his name is Ruben Martinez. And he said he wanted to challenge people to do 22 acts of kindness or good deeds to remember the 22 people that were killed in El Paso. Hmm. And it's kind of going viral. And think about that. My challenge is, what if you just did one good deed today in the name of Jesus? What if you just love somebody that not did something back to you, but you just love somebody maybe that was not living in a very lovable way today?
Well, I think it goes to what we were talking about yesterday as we kind of closed out the program, prayer, care, share.
Yeah.
Listen, we're talking this week about being a witness, not our own witness. We're witnessing for Christ.
Mm-hmm.
And we need to be in prayer about how that's going to happen. Because I know in our daily, you know, motions of our day, very seldom do we just go, you know, God, give me eyes to see those who may need a kind word.
Mm-hmm.
Help me have the eyes to see. You were talking about a song, I think it was yesterday, about giving me eyes to see.
It's Brandon Heath's song, Give Me Your Eyes. Give me your eyes,
I mean, God. That ought to be a prayer, not just in El Paso or in Dayton, Ohio, but in Jacksonville, Florida, or Virginia Beach. You know, God, give us your eyes to see people that we are so close to. And I'm talking more about geographically close to, that may need something kind from us. Mm-hmm. What an opportunity we have.
Well,
because we get all riled up about, well, we got to share Christ. Yeah, we do. But we need the opportunities to share Christ. And oftentimes that doesn't happen necessarily on the street corner or in an elevator going up a building. It just begins with saying, hello, how are you today? You
know? Well, and even before that, I would contend it begins with a day started with the Father in prayer,
yes,
saying,
exactly.
Lord, give me your eyes today to see the things you want me to be involved in. Because here's the thing about God, that God works in partnership with us.
Right.
Not because he has to, but because he chooses to. He wants to. You know, when Jesus said, you know, I'm going to raise Lazarus, he could have just moved the stone with a word, but he said, hey, go move the stone. He told the disciples why. He wanted them involved in the process. When he fed the 5,000 people, he could have just said it, and the fish and their loaves would have multiplied, and the people could have just did it. But he told the disciples, you take this and you feed them. He chooses to use us. And so one of the things that we need to keep in mind is we need to be proactive in responding to the crisis or opportunities that we see in our path on a daily basis. That's the first thing. Second is we need to use our gifts and our resources, which is our time. It could be our money. It could be our abilities, our connections, our networks, to influence others for Christ. Max Lucado wrote an op-ed piece where he says, how are we supposed to respond to something like this shooting in El Paso? He told the story of, you know, when Jesus walked on the Sea of Galilee, and it says, when the disciples, the moment they invited Jesus into the boat, was the moment they reached their destination. They'd been trying all night for 5 and 6 hours to get there while Jesus is praying. The moment they invited him in, they invited him in, they were there. And then Max says, why don't we follow the example of the disciples and welcome Jesus into this time and let him take us to the place he wants us to go with these people. Let us be his influencers. So I just think as we start off our program today, we can first of all pray and ask God for opportunities to see with his eyes and to care for people and then share as he gives opportunities. So,
yeah. Hey, glad you joined us today. Doug, good to be with you, brother. And if you want to call in, we'd love to hear from you. You can call us at 844-777-7928. That's 844-777-SWAT. You can also send us a question. If you have a comment or question, email us at ask@swatradio.com. If you have a message for Doug, it's doug@swatradio.com, or myself, brad@swatradio.com. By the way, you can also download our app if you haven't done that. James up in Idaho, I believe it is, has been just awesome getting all that kind of worked out. And it's just SWAT Radio. You can download the app, listen to it live. And you can go to our website, swatradio.com, listen to us live there, or listen to past broadcasts. We'll take a quick break. Be right back.
This program has the potential to reach millions of men each week. If you'd like to learn how you can support this unique program that is helping men understand the truth about Jesus through God's Word and how to impact their lives and the lives of others, then go to www.swatradio.com. Then click on the donate link to help SWAT Radio pass on the truth for the next generation.
We're so grateful for having people like Tom Neal Truck Company sponsoring SWAT Radio. Tom Neal Truck Company is located at 417 Edgewood Avenue South in Jacksonville, Florida. Tom Neal is a full-service franchise truck dealer for Freightliner, Western Star, Volvo, Isuzu, and Sprinter vans, offering new and used truck sales, service, parts and truck rental and leasing to the North Florida and South Georgia truck market. More information on Tom Neal Truck Company is located at www.tomneal.com. That's www.tomneal.com.
Step out on a busy street, see a girl and our eyes meet, does her best to smile at me, to hide what's underneath. There's a man just too right, black suit and a bright red tie, too ashamed to tell his wife he's out of work, he's buying time. All those people going somewhere, why have I never cared? Give me your eyes for just 1 second, give me your eyes so I can see everything that I keep missing. Give me your love for humanity, give me your arms for the brokenhearted, the ones that are far beyond my reach. Give me your heart for the ones forgotten, give me your eyes so I can see. Yeah, 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 yeah.
Welcome back. I wanted to let the song keep going, well, because I think those those words are so good.
Give me a second chance. Listen, if you're alive today, you have another chance to be a witness that you didn't have yesterday. And here, Brad, here's some stats that I want to share with you that are really, when you stop and think about it, are really quite alarming. 95% of all professing Christians have never, ever shared the gospel with somebody. 95%. Well, I say that's in America. Those are
right. Professing believers.
Professing in this country. In this country, right? 95%. 80% of the ones that do. So 80% of the 5% consistently do not witness for Christ. Like on a consistent basis, less than 2% are even involved in a regular ministry of evangelism or witnessing for Christ. 71% do not give toward the financing of the Great Commission. Almost 3 out of 4. And one particular denomination did a survey on its leadership, right? This is the leaders of this particular denomination's ministry.
Now, we are talking about...
This is evangelical.
Evangelical.
Yeah,
okay.
This is not liberal. This is evangelical conservative Christians. 63% of the leadership in this particular denomination, which would include deacons and elders, have not led one stranger to Jesus in the last 2 years. Not one. 50% of the leaders spend zero time in an average week ministering to anybody outside of their church contacts. 50%. 89% of the leaders have zero time reserved on their list of weekly priorities for any engagement with people outside the body of Christ. Think about that. Mm. I don't know what people spend their time doing, but these are the leaders. 99% of the leaders believe that every Christian, including leaders, have been commanded to share the gospel. So almost 100% believe that it's everybody's responsibility, but they're not doing it. 97% believe that if they had greater conviction and involvement, that the church would follow after them. They answered that question. So almost 100% said, well, if the leaders will do it, then the people will do it. And 96% of the leaders believe their churches would grow if they would have been more involved in sharing the gospel with people. So these are leaders. And I'm just telling you that pastors and ministry leaders get so wrapped up in the what I call the business aspects of the church or the committee aspects or all the programs or whatever else, that they're not engaging. And so if they're not engaging, they're not sharing with the body stories. And here's the beautiful part about Jesus. He says, guys, come follow me, watch me, be with me, see how I engage with people. And who did Jesus spend his time with? Where did he spend his time? He spent his time out on the streets. He spent his time. And listen, I'm not saying for pastors, I'm really not beating up pastors in this. I'm just simply relaying the results of this you know, survey and the stats. And it came out of a book called Street Level Evangelism, Where is the Space for Local Evangelists by a guy named Michael Parrott, published back in 1993. So this was back then. Do you think it's gotten better or worse, Brad, since 93?
It's gotten a lot worse.
It's gotten worse. This was back then. So another book called Our Last Great Hope, published in 2011, says that, you know, that there were this was back in 2011, approximately 7 billion people on Earth back then. It's up from that now. Out of that 7 billion, approximately 750 million, or about 11%, are willing to profess that Jesus is their Lord. Mm. So that's only 89% of the rest of the world is not even willing to profess that. That's a lot of lost people. About 2.6 billion have heard the gospel but have not accepted. And this was back in 2012, just over 50% of the world's population, or a little over 3.5 billion back then, haven't even heard of the gospel. So there was 3.5 billion people back then that had never heard the name Jesus or heard of the gospel. And when I look at the things that we get caught up in the church, and when I mean church, I mean universal church, it's just really, really sad. I mean, this was the last stat of the 11,000 distinct people groups on the planet, 6,700 of these people groups, about 60%, contain between 0 and 2% evangelical Christians. And many of these groups have no church, no Bible, no Christian literature, no missionaries who are even attempting to share the gospel with them. Now, I think that number now is about 2,000. I think there's about 2,000 people groups left that have not got a witness in it. But still, when you think of the vast number of people, and this alarming part for me, and you went to the Philippines with me, you were over there, we were sharing the gospel in mass areas, and we were sharing with administrators, and that was one place that is evangelized, and yet there's still a lot of people that don't know or haven't heard, because I talked to people who had never heard that. Now, what's sad to me is you got people in this country, here in America, that I've talked to who said, nobody's ever told me that before. And I mean, that is, when you, I don't know how many churches there are in Jacksonville. I would guess somewhere between what? What do you think?
Maybe. In Jacksonville, yeah, but there's probably 1,200.
Yeah, so about 1,200 churches here, and there are people in this city that have never been told by anybody about Jesus.
Well, there's several things kind of run through my mind when I hear these stats, and I've heard them before, I've read them myself. Why is that? I mean, that's really, why does that happen? How does that happen? And since we're talking about evangelism, being a witness, you know, in the context that you laid it out even yesterday, what is a witness?
Mm-hmm.
When you're asked to be a witness on a stand in a courtroom, your job, you have one job, and that is to speak about what you've seen, what you've heard, and what you've experienced.
Mm-hmm.
I think what gets me probably initially, Doug, is those statistics are probably, I don't want to say inaccurate, but my first thought is, how many of those are truly born again?
Oh, the people that profess.
Right.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because I just don't see how you could truly be born again. And what I mean by that is that you have surrendered your life to the Lordship of Christ.
And you've been regenerate.
You've got a new heart. You haven't gone to the hospital and gotten mended up. You have a completely new heart
mm-hmm.
that beats for different things. Now, that doesn't mean you don't sin, you don't stumble, you don't struggle. You do. But the new heart has a desire to speak about the things that God is doing mm-hmm. in your life, in your family's life, in your church life, in your community. And I think, you know, I think we live in a time where it's so much about us. We're settling for a Christianity that revolves around catering to ourselves, when really the central message of Christianity is about abandoning ourselves.
Hmm.
We are so focused on our own comforts, our own health, our own wealth. I am too. I mean, listen, we're all there. You know, it's me first.
Mm-hmm.
And yet there are people right around us who have never heard the gospel. I mean, this is not a knock on the church I grew up in. It's just the reality that I didn't really hear a clear presentation of the gospel till I was 18 years old and I grew up in the church. Again, I'm not knocking the church. I believe that God had not opened my ears or opened my eyes yet. But how do you know, if you're listening to us, how do you know you're not the one, the instrument, the vessel that God wants to use to bring the gospel into somebody's life?
Well, in our culture, we see, this is why I teach narrative evangelism. I call it story evangelism. Mm-hmm. And in the next 2 weeks, we're really going to get into this. The guy who taught me that, one of the guys, is going to be our guest next week. His name is Lon Allison. He was the director of the Billy Graham Center for Evangelism in Chicago. He's now up at Wheaton Bible Church. He wrote a book about this process of prayer, care, share. He is the one who initially taught me that through Leighton Ford Arrow Leadership Program. The other guy who was significantly impactful in my life in this area is a guy named Perry Bowers, who's been mm-hmm. on here several times. Perry used to teach and train me to teach a seminar called Each One, Reach One.
Mm-hmm.
And he had a little booklet by that name, and it's basically getting us to focus, and to focus on the people around us, just like Simon, Peter was, you know, Andrew went and got him first. You know, he went, and it wasn't this presentation he did. He just brought him to Jesus, right?
Mm.
And Jesus was there. Well, for us, Jesus is not here in the physical, but he is here in his word, and he's in presence. And so when we come back, I want to talk a little bit about that and what it looks like for us, and how maybe we got off track a little bit somewhere between the biblical time and the time we live in today.
Well, and I appreciate it. It's one of the topics that I thought we may ought to tackle this week is the training aspect of sharing the gospel. The reality, you go to a good restaurant, eat a good meal, you don't know all the ingredients, you just know it was great.
Yep.
Glad you joined us. 844-777-7928.
WTRJ, Orange Park, Jacksonville. WAYL, St. Augustine. WATY, Folkston, Georgia. Online at ilovethetruth.com.
Breaking news this hour from townhall.com. I'm John Scott. President Trump and the First Lady have met with victims and first responders of the Dayton, Ohio mass shooting. He's now headed for El Paso, Texas to meet with victims of the Saturday shooting. A total of 31 people died in the two shootings last weekend. The president says there's a very strong political appetite in Congress for gun background checks, but not for a ban on assault weapons. White House correspondent Greg Cluxton reports.
The president believes background checks for gun purchases are important and that there's a willingness in Congress to pass bipartisan legislation.
I think both Republican and Democrat are getting close to a bill on to doing something on background checks.
But he says that's not the case for a ban on assault weapons.
There is no political appetite for that.
The president says he's been talking with lawmakers and is optimistic about action on background checks. Greg Clugston, The White House.
The White House is inviting internet and technology companies for a roundtable discussion on violent extremism online. That meeting will be held on Friday. President Trump has directed the Justice Department to work with online platforms and state and local governments to develop tools that can detect mass shooters before they strike. Also at townhall.com, Afghan officials say 14 people have been killed, 145 others wounded. In a Taliban suicide car bombing outside a police station in Kabul today. Deputy Interior Minister Kushal Sadat told reporters that 92 of the wounded are civilians. It turned out to be a false alarm at USA Today's headquarters in McLean, Virginia earlier today. That office was evacuated amid a heavy police presence to what authorities say turned out to be a mistaken report of a person with a weapon. On Wall Street, stocks have turned mixed. The Dow down 24 points, but the NASDAQ is ahead 30. More on these stories at townhall.com.
No active accidents, but there is a disabled vehicle on the West Beltway 295 heading south at the Buckman Bridge. Also, another broken down vehicle on the West Beltway 295 northbound before 103rd Street. And there's a disabled truck in St. Johns County on I-95 southbound a couple miles before we get to the World Golf Village exit. Partly cloudy tonight. Expect a low around 80. Thursday, mostly sunny and hot. High 95.
Welcome back to SWAT Radio. One of our favorite songs, yeah, right there.
That's our theme song.
You know, Doug, we were just talking on the break about tomorrow. We may have Leighton Ford as our guest.
We're trying to get him. I don't know if we're going to get him, but if we don't.
Yeah, if not, I'm going to put together some questions. In fact, if you're listening and you may have some questions about, you know, evangelism, I mentioned, I think. Things initially come to my mind. Why are those statistics so staggering?
Mm-hmm.
To me, number one, it makes me wonder how many of those are truly converted. How many of those are truly born again, repentant believers? Number two, how many of them have been trained in evangelism? I mean, just very, very basic. First of all, and I think the first part of training is being able to understand the gospel. I kind of went on the break speaking to the idea, you go eat a good meal somewhere. You, if somebody says, how was your dinner there the other night? You're probably going to say, man, it was great. I had this.
Mm-hmm.
You don't know all the ingredients that were put into that meal. It doesn't matter sometimes.
Well, no, and that's exactly the point is for a lot of people, they believe they have to be trained to answer every question to be a witness for Jesus Christ, and you don't. The first requirement to be a witness, and you know what, is to know Jesus. Now, I will say this, that God uses people that aren't even truly regenerate. He used Judas.
Sure.
Judas told people about Jesus. He went and proclaimed the gospel with the other disciples. He healed people in Jesus' name, but he wasn't regenerate.
Mm-hmm.
But if you are a believer and you are regenerate, you have everything you need to be able to share the good news and be a witness with somebody else. Now, does that mean you don't need training? No. Does it mean that you don't want to keep learning? You don't want to learn how to be a better communicator? What I try to focus on with training, though, is culturally and communication things that can help you clearly articulate to people so that you don't mislead people
right.
with wrong information, i.e., it's easy for sometimes for people to believe if they pray a prayer, okay, they're regenerate.
Yeah.
It's easy to believe sometimes if people just say the right words, then they're regenerate. No, it's not what you say. It's not what you do. It's what takes place in your heart. The prayer simply is communicating to God what your heart feels and what you want God to do.
Well, I think
if that makes sense.
Totally. I mean, Greg Gilbert, who's been our guest a couple of times, speaks to the idea of that, you know, in his book, What is the Gospel? It's most people in those statistics that you shared earlier, I believe, have an incomplete understanding of the gospel. And therefore, they may not even be saved because they've only got half of the gospel.
Mm-hmm.
You know they're sinners, but there's been no brokenness, no repentance. And I mean, I think that speaks to a culture. It speaks to a nation. In his book, Radical, which, by the way, if you don't have that book, I highly recommend it. Radical by David Platt. He wrote that book, goodness, probably 8 years ago. I heard him speak at the pastor's conference here in Jacksonville. I want to say back in 2009 or 2010. And it was really speaking on evangelism. He said this: in the late 1940s, the United States government constructed an $80 million troop carrier for the Navy. The purpose was to design a ship that could speedily carry 15,000 troops during times of war. By 1952, construction on the SS United States was complete. The ship could travel at 44 knots. It's about 51 miles an hour. And she could steam 10,000 miles without stopping for fuel or supplies. She could outrun any other ship and travel nonstop anywhere in the world in less than 10 days.
Hmm.
The SS United States was the fastest and most reliable troop carrier in the world. The only catch is she never carried troops, at least not in any official capacity. Instead, the SS United States became a luxury liner for presidents, heads of state, and a variety of other celebrities who traveled on her during her 17 years of service. As a luxury liner, she couldn't carry 15,000 people. Instead, she could house just under 2,000 passengers. Those passengers could enjoy the luxuries of 695 staterooms, 4 dining salons, 3 bars, 2 theaters, 5 acres of open deck with a heated pool, 19 elevators, and the comfort of the world's first fully air-conditioned passenger ship. Instead of a vessel used for battle during wartime, the SS United States became a means of indulgence for wealthy patrons who desired to coast peacefully across the Atlantic. Things look radically different on a luxury liner than they do on a troop carrier. The faces of soldiers preparing for battle and those of patrons enjoying their bonbons are radically different. The conservation of resources on a troop carrier contrasts sharply with the opulence that characterizes the luxury liner. At the pace at which the troop carrier moves is by necessity much faster than that of the luxury liner. After all, the troop carrier has an urgent task to accomplish. The luxury liner, on the other hand, is free to casually enjoy the ship. He compares the SS United States is equal to the American church today. It says, unfortunately, most churches in America resemble the luxury liner. Although God designed us to carry soldiers into battle, we've become more interested in our own comforts during the journey, so much so that we've actually quit moving toward the battle.
Well, that's interesting, because I don't know if you remember, but at either the last SWAT meeting or the SWAT meeting before last, I made the analogy that I've, or the comment that I've been on two cruises in my life. I've been on a Disney cruise, and I've been on a U.S. warship cruise when I was a pilot in the Marine Corps. Two different experiences. When I was on the warship, it did not exist for my comforts. I was there on a mission.
Exactly.
But when I was on the Disney cruise, everything was about me. It was about how I could be pleased, how I could be entertained, how I was made comfortable. They didn't really care about my comfort on the USS Bellawood when I was on that ship.
Probably had to make your own bed, didn't you?
Well, yeah, not only that, it wasn't comfortable. And, you know, in the Bellawood, we sailed through storms. When you're on the Disney cruise, you go around storms. You know, I mean, when you're on mission, the mission drives us. Mm-hmm. And that's part of the issue, is we've become so entertainment driven. It's like we were talking with Paul Miller. The reason we don't pray is because there's nothing entertaining about praying. Mm-hmm. We don't pray for other people. We don't read the Bible because there's nothing entertaining about reading the Bible. The reason we read the Bible, the reason we pray, is because we're on mission. And that helps us to fulfill that mission. First of all, to know Christ and to know God and His Word and to know the Holy Spirit. And then to represent those three out in the world by the power of the Holy Spirit, to be a witness of what God's done in our life. And, you know, I want to go back to this issue of Peter and Andrew. And I think they're a great example, because I think for some people, Brad, they think that they have to go and be able to spit out the Roman road. They think they've got to be able to quote every verse in the Bible. Mm-hmm. They've got to be able to deal with every argument. God didn't call you to do that. He did say, be prepared to give an answer for the hope that is within you. But the bottom line is, Andrew had just met Jesus. And he went and he got Simon. He said, hey, come see the Messiah. That was his witness. He just went and told him. And guess what? Peter came and he said, hey, Peter, you know what? Your name is not going to be Simon anymore. It's going to be Petros. Mm. It's going to be the rock. And Peter ended up being the leader of that group. And so when you share Christ with people and you witness for him, you never know what God's going to do. I remember I was in Krasnodar, Russia, teaching. And I was teaching a group of pastors and missionaries. And me and another guy, I think Rich Griffiths was there with me, if I'm not mistaken. And a guy came up to me. He goes, you don't remember me, do you? And I said, no, sir. He goes, I'm from Kirov, Russia. I go, really? He goes, yes, you help start our church. You did evangelism in our city. And I came to Christ there. And now I'm a missionary from the church.
Didn't he call in too?
No, that was over in, that was a guy in Romania.
Romania, that's
yeah.
right.
Yeah. But this guy was Russian who came to Christ as a result of a week that we, like we spend in the Philippines, but we're over in Russia. And now he is a missionary traveling all over Russia as a representative of that church in that area. So you never know who you're going to share with and how God's going to use them. And so can I just encourage you, while we're going to go to break, while we go to this break, take a moment and reflect in your life. If you have not shared the gospel or been a witness, don't be paralyzed. Just repent. Mm. Say, God, I'm so sorry. Help me to be a better witness, because he's worth it, folks. He's worth it.
Yeah, if you want to share, we got to care first, and then we got to pray. We got to pray,
care.
We got to care, prayer, care, share. Mm-hmm. And that just is ingrained in my mind that if I want to share Christ today, begins with prayer.
Yeah.
And do you care enough about the people who are lost out there? I wonder, Doug, I'm already thinking about questions I want to ask you, but one of them would be, I wonder how many people you shared Christ with who didn't come to Christ, who didn't surrender their life to Christ? Well, maybe you can answer that when we come back. But okay. Hey, glad you joined us. You want to call in? Join into the conversation, man. It'd be great. 844-777-7928. We'll be right back. SWAT Radio.
If you'd like to contact SWAT Radio, the toll-free number is 1-844-777-7928. That's 844-777-7928 or 844-777-SWAT. You can also listen to this program through the WTRJ The Truth app from the App Store or over the Internet by accessing www.swatradio.com. We'll be back shortly for further discussion and to take your calls. Highway to Eternity Ministries is a ministry dedicated to encouraging those who have lost hope and coming alongside those who cannot find peace and are considered unfit for inclusion in Christ's church. They use published works to teach God's word and share encouraging testimonies of transformed lives. Highway to Eternity Ministries serves as a parachurch ministry that comes alongside churches to share its passion and commitment through spiritual writings, nuances, and experiences to everyone who has an interest in the teachings of Jesus Christ. For more information, contact Jeff Andrews at 904-436-5175.
As she slips in, trying to fade into the faces, the girl's teasing laughter is carrying farther than they know, farther than they know. But if we are the body, why aren't his arms reaching? Why aren't
Welcome back to SWAT Radio. We're the body.
Why aren't we doing these things? Yeah, why aren't we reaching? Why, you know, and it tells a story of two people that come in to the church to try to find hope or help. And instead of finding hope and help, they find teasing or rejection. And, you know, the thing is that when you think of the American church in particular, if you ask, if you just went out and did a survey of most people around the country and asked them, what do you think of the church? It would not be a good response, Brad.
No.
It would be judgmental. In fact, I've asked people this question before on airplanes and stuff, and judgmental, you know, not loving. But I bet if you ask those same people, what have they thought about Jesus if they were around when Jesus was around, not what we've characterized him as or what we've caricaturized him as, but if they were actually there and witnessed him, they would never have said judgmental. They would have said, wow, a loving, accepting, caring. Now listen, I can already hear, but these people are doing evil things, or these people, you know, Jesus was the friend of sinners. He was the friend. He was known as this man is a friend of sinners. In fact, over in Matthew chapter 9, the Pharisees were having a duck because they were having a party, and it was prostitutes and tax collectors. And they're like, what is he doing? Why is he doing all this? And he goes, you don't understand. I did not come for the healthy. I came for the sick. And I think we miss that a lot.
Well, we think we got to clean up our life. You know, I love this. It says the modern day gospel says God loves you and has a wonderful plan for your life. Therefore, follow these steps and you can be saved. Meanwhile, the biblical gospel says you are an enemy of God, dead in your sin, and in your present state of rebellion, you are not even able to see that you need life, much less to cause yourself to come to life. Therefore, you are radically dependent on God to do something in your life that you could never do. And I think we in America, I'm going to talk on this on Friday because I'm talking about praying constantly. You know, we don't pray because we're not desperate. We really just don't see that we are in need.
Mm-mm.
It's because we have a standard that is always moving. It's based on my neighbor. It's based on, you know, whatever the news, you know, whatever. You know what I mean, Doug? I just think we have this broad view of what our standard of good is, and yet we're measuring our lives against the wrong thing.
Well, we don't measure against Jesus, obviously, and his holy, perfect standard. It's interesting that John Maisel shared a story on Saturday at the retreat, because he and I were having a conversation about this issue, about the number of churched unbelievers that there are in this country. You alluded to it earlier. And John was having a conversation with a guy at a workout center, like a gym. And this guy had been a member of a very good church in the Dallas area. Very, very strong church, very strong teaching. Been a member there for a long time. And John asked him a question about his faith and about the authenticity of his faith and his habits. And the answer revealed that he didn't really. In fact, he just came out and said, I don't know that I've ever felt that way. Mm-hmm. You're talking about a desire to pray to God, a desire to read his word, which are basically, if you were born into God's family and regenerated by the Holy Spirit, do you know that the Holy Spirit's role is to grow you? And so one of the ways the Holy Spirit grows you is to give you the desire to want to read God's word and to want to spend time with God. So if those things are absent from your life and you're not in a state of sin where you're actively rebelling against God in an area and he's withdrawn his presence for a second, not eternally, but just to remove it, to allow you to experience the dryness of being away from him, you better really examine if you're even in the faith. Because I'm going to tell you, to say, well, I've never had a desire to read the Bible. The Holy Spirit is there to guide you and grow you. And if you don't have a desire to read the Bible, you better be re-examining, am I even really a believer then? Because God says that, I mean, throughout history, go through the Old Testament, New Testament, God's word is so important to his people because we know it is his statutes. As I'm memorizing Psalm 119 and even Psalm 19, it's over and over about God's word. It's perfect. It revives a soul. It's pure. It enlightens the eyes. It's clean. It endures forever. All those descriptives of it, his rules are true and righteous altogether. Those things are things that I want, Brad, because I want to be with God. I want to honor God, not out of obligation, but because I love him and what he's done for me. And I think if those things are not evident in your life and those desires aren't there. And I'm not talking about a temporary thing. I'm talking about periods. People, I've talked to people and they go, well, you know, I trusted Christ when I was like 17, but I've never really had a desire to read the Bible, and they're 38. Mm. So for 21 years, there's been no growth. Show me any other realm of life, and you show me something that for 21 years has no growth and it's dead.
Yeah.
It's not
well,
alive.
I mean, you definitely see there are children who are, you know, 12, 13 years old that have serious health issues. They're ill and they haven't grown physically. You immediately see those kids and go, something's not right.
Yeah.
There's something wrong. Well, the same is true in the spiritual realm. If there's no spiritual growth, you need to examine yourself, as Paul says. You know, Doug, it was fun. Even though I was not there for the whole retreat, I got to sit next to Ryan, your son, and he and I talked for a little bit. And obviously, I've spent a good amount of time around Russ, but it doesn't take very long for me to be around your boys. I call them boys because they're boys to me, but it doesn't take me very long to be around your boys to see characteristics of their dad in them.
Mm-hmm.
That's because you spent time with them, you know. The same is true for my boys. You know, it's funny, my boys, as they're out and about, they will often say, are you a Sykes? There's just something about them that reflects who their dad is.
Mm-hmm.
Well, if God the Father is your true father, then there should be a reflection of some of his character in you. Love, joy. I mean, you talked about the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is in you. The Holy Spirit's role is to produce the fruit that we're supposed to bear. In abundance, we're supposed to bear those fruits. Love and joy and peace and patience and kindness and gentleness and self-control and goodness and faithfulness. Think about those things. I mean, those really, it's kind of like when our kids were growing up, you backed them up to the wall and you got your pencil out and you marked where they were growing. And you go back and you look at that now years later and you see how they grew. That's our measuring stick. That's the measuring stick by which we as followers of Christ are to be measured. We're not to be measured by what our, well, I'm better than this person or I'm better than that person.
We should be able to look back and see growth in our life. You know, if you can't look back in your spiritual journey and see growth, I mean, at best case, you're spiritually sick.
Mm-hmm.
At best.
Mm-hmm.
Worst case, you may have had a profession of faith. And I love what Dick Halverson said. I've said this a bunch. What started in Jerusalem as a relationship went to Greece and became an idea, went to Rome and became an institution, and came to America and became an enterprise. We cookie cut the gospel for people, and people buy into the gospel propositionally but not relationally. In other words, they understand the facts about the gospel, but they have never embraced Jesus. They place their faith in the fact that Jesus died on the cross, but not their faith in the Savior. Does that make sense?
Oh, man.
And that's what the gospel is.
Mm-hmm.
The gospel, just knowing what he did and saying you believe it, the demons believe, but they don't appropriate faith in Jesus as a Savior.
Mm-hmm.
And so, if you're out there, can I just encourage you? No fancy prayer, just the heart that says, I'm a sinner, I'm selfish, I'm rebellious against the Almighty God, even though I may not even know all the ways I am. I know I need him. I want him. I want to place my faith in Jesus and what he did on the cross, and I want him to change my life. I want his spirit to live in me and change me. Just tell him that.
It's an inside-out project, too.
Yes.
It's not an outside-in project.
And it's not a rehab. It's a complete rebuild.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Hey, we're going to tackle this more tomorrow, aren't we?
Yeah.
All right. Glad you joined us here at SWAT Radio. You can go to SWATradio.com, listen to past broadcasts. Go to Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, SWAT Radio Talk. And, Doug, I'll see you tomorrow, buddy.
See you tomorrow.
If you missed a SWAT Radio broadcast this week and would like to hear any show in its entirety, then go to SWATradio.com. Click on Past Shows, where you can listen to the broadcast. Also, if you're looking for a band of brothers that gather around God's Word to be a part of, then go to SWATradio.com and email one of our hosts, and they can get you plugged in to one of the local SWAT Bible studies. Tune in next time to explore how SWAT Radio is strengthening spiritual.
WTRJ, Orange Park, Jacksonville. WAYL, St. Augustine. WATY, Folkston, Georgia. Online.